look at 2 Corinthians as we work our way through the entire counsel of God. A party spirit continued to run amok in Corinth. Division and dispute, factions and fighting, both spiritual and shocking behavior all bundled together was going on. Paul was exasperated, especially in 2 Corinthians when you read it. That's why he wrote so many letters to them. He didn't write just two. We don't have all the letters. There was at least four or five that Paul wrote, and this because this was kind of an unruly, motley crew in Corinth. So they would say, oh, I belong to Paul. Well, I'm with Peter. I'm aligned with Apollos. Now, we have our own version of Corinthian polarization today. I'm with Sean Hannity. I belong to Rachel Maddow. I'm an ambassador of Ann Coulter. Well, I'm a follower of Bill Maher, Mayor. 24/7, we obsessively consume our personally customized news to our own algorithms, carefully culled and selected to our exact political views. Now, in 1960, pollsters asked Americans, and they've been doing this for decades, would you be disappointed if your child married a person from the opposing political party? Well, 4.5% of Americans in 1960 said yes. So 95.5% were okay with that. Fast forward to 2010. Even before the contentious 2016 election, pollsters asked Americans the same question they've been asking. Their answers this time around, 45% of Americans said they would be disappointed if their child married someone from the opposing political party. 45%. Something's wrong. Many Christians have come to think that the kingdom of God is the Republican Party platform, or that the kingdom of God is the Democratic Party agenda. My fellow Christians, we make up approximately 75% of the American population. Plain and simple, you do the math, the church is guilty on all sides of furthering the divide rather than sharing and showing the message of reconciliation. Paul in 2 Corinthians sets a much higher spiritual path for us than this, reminding us that our ultimate identity is in Christ, more specifically, the crucified Christ. Yeah, be informed about politics, absolutely. Be engaged, don't disengage, not saying that, but keep it humbled and keep it constrained and compelled by Christ's authority. We are Christ's ambassadors, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Not our political party's ambassadors. They're not the same thing. An ambassador doesn't represent themselves. They represent their leader. They represent their country. And as Christians, our ultimate leader, our ultimate king, and our ultimate country is the kingdom of God. I like how William Barclay puts it. Here is the Christian's proud privilege and almost terrifying responsibility. The honor of Christ and of the church are in the hands of each and every one of us. You see, this is the paradox of the cross. It's a power that is made perfect in weakness. The power of God is manifested in us through the crucified Christ's forgiveness, humility, self-giving love, and bridge building through reconciliation. And so as reconciled reconcilers, we broadcast the news, Emmanuel, the good news, the true news of reconciliation, of transformation found in Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. We read later in the book of Romans, it comes before Corinthians, but it was written after it, that Paul's strained relationship with the church of Corinth was eventually reconciled. So let's hear now from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him, meaning Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, Christ was sinless, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. Paul has just reminded us of something very important. God has entrusted us or enlisted us with the ministry of reconciliation. In Christ Jesus, God not only reconciles the world, but God can even reconcile red and blue. Yes, God is the God of the impossible. God is the God of miracles today. That's my God. God has the power to transform our tired, old, predictable ways of blaming, bickering, and bitterness. And he transfigures those things into renewal, restoration, and reconciliation between individuals and between parties. We can learn a lot from each other if we just sit down and talk and listen. Liberals, you need conservatives. Conservatives, you need liberals. In Alan Hilton's wonderful new book, A House United, How the Church Can Save the World, he talks about this movement of reconciliation that is rumbling in our society today. You don't hear about it in the news at all, but it's going on. And I'd like to introduce you to Pastor Stu and Pastor Jim. Okay, Stu Kearns, he pastors at Zion Presbyterian Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Zion is definitely a red church, okay? They're part of the conservative branch of Presbyterians, the PCA, it's called, Presbyterian Church in America. They don't ordain women, and they don't recognize same-sex marriages, okay? And then there's Jim Keck. He pastors First Plymouth Congregational Church, which is also in Lincoln, in downtown. A true blue and progressive church in the red map of Nebraska. Now, Plymouth Church was one of the early pioneers in affirming gay Christians in membership, in ordination, and in same-sex marriage. And it would be so easy for Stu and Jim to throw red meat and blue meat to their prospective choirs. But they don't do that. In their own distinctive ways, and they are different, Stu and Jim prefer constructive engagement and courageous conversations as they carry out, each in their own way, their unique callings as being ambassadors of Christ entrusted with the message of reconciliation. Stu, he hosts a local radio show each Saturday morning, KLIN, 1400 AM. It's called Friendly Fire. And Stu's been the pastor at Zion for over 30 years. He started when he was 5 years old. And throughout his ministry, and he grew up there, he's been cultivating relationships with many pastors of all stripes and plaids in Lincoln. And he frequently hosts all these different ones on his show. And his goal is to bring a wide array of Christian perspectives into friendly conversation with one another on the hot button issues of the day. Now, Jim is different, okay? Jim, very progressive, but the guy preaches like an evangelical. He talks about conversion and being in relationship with Jesus Christ. This liberal church hosts good old-fashioned revivals at Plymouth. They've even brought in a black Pentecostal preacher from Chicago in one of their revivals. Ladies and gentlemen, liberals don't do revivals, okay? Revivals, they're too emotional, they're too spooky, too narrow-minded, too evangelistic. Jim begs to differ. And so Stu and Jim, they're not supposed to get along with each other, right? Our culture, and especially the church, tells us Stu and Jim are supposed to be at war, that they're opposing generals leading their prospective armies in a bloody, protracted, uncivil war between the blue and the red. But Jim, Stu, and most importantly, Jesus disagree. Instead, the two have a warm friendship with one another, with Stu often inviting Jim on his radio show. They have pulpit exchanges. This is radical, ladies and gentlemen. A liberal UCC pastor preaching at a PCA church and a conservative PCA pastor preaching at a UCC church? The two laugh. They joke together about their differences. They respectfully disagree as brothers in God's forever family. But they know that Jesus is so much bigger than their differences, so much more defining, so much more important. You see, this is the ministry of reconciliation that Paul is talking about, and what a beautiful thing it is. This is what the church needs today. This is what society needs. This is what our world needs. Our unity in Christ Jesus in a time of division is a powerful witness and example to the world of God's love and ability to bring people together. The old ways, they're passing away. God is doing a new thing, Emmanuel. And I don't know about you, I want to be doing what God is doing. The crucified Christ has the power to crumble the walls of hostility and animosity that divide us. In Christ, God was and God is reconciling the world. We are in Christ Jesus, and Christ is working in us and through us to reconcile the world to God. As Christians, we have a calling in our lives, a calling to be appealing and not to be revolting. Christ is appealing through us. Be reconciled to God. But how can we invite others to be reconciled to God if we can't be reconciled with others who are made in God's image? Are we really reconciled to God? See, Emmanuel, Christ is on the move. Christ is at work today. And it isn't business as usual. Study church history. And Christians have been from all different kinds of governments and been of different political stripes and plaids. You see, this is the radical thing here. That no matter what your affiliation is, all of us, Christ wants to work in us and through a people to bring other people together, to build them up rather than tear them down. You see, Jesus is about the kingdom of God. And so we need to be about Jesus, and we need to be about the kingdom of God. Don't settle for less. The ramifications are staggering, if we really believe this. Instead of quarreling and bashing the other side, we open up our lives to Christ and his love. We extend Christ's love to all. We don't engage in cultural wars. Rather, we engage in the ministry of reconciliation and we wage peace. The love of Christ compels us to be people who heals differences and bridge divides and continue Christ's ministry on earth. And so this is going to take some changes for us, for us all, for myself included. The Oxford Dictionary defines an echo chamber as this. An echo chamber is an environment in which a person encounters only beliefs or opinions that coincide with their own, so that their existing views are reinforced and alternative ideas are not considered. Liberals and conservatives, traditionalists and progressives, reds and blues, Christ is calling you out of your echo chamber. Christ has unlocked your door so you can get out and you can get some air. You're going to suffocate in your silo. Come out. Breathe deep with the breath of the Holy Spirit and God's wide open spaces. My dear donkeys, my dear elephants, remember, first and foremost, you're all fish. Ichthus in Greek. Ichthus, or fish, it's an acronym in the Greek language for Jesus Christ, God's Son and Savior. The fish was the secret code for persecuted Christians to identify themselves. But we're not only fish, Emmanuel. We're sheep, right? The Lord is my shepherd, all right? Don't be a goat. But if you are a goat, God can transform that and you can be the greatest of all time, that kind of goat. And as Christians, we're not only a little sheepish, we're not only a little fishy, we're different from the world. We stick out. And so we're birds. We're odd birds, all of us. And every bird has to get out of its shell to spread its wings and fly, right? And let's get used to it, because this is a fact. There are many different kinds of birds in God's animal kingdom, okay? Created by God. So capitalists and socialists, lefties, righties, centrists, tea partiers, coffee drinkers, reds, blues, greens, purples, blacks and whites, gay and straight, whatever your feather, in Christ Jesus, we can flock together and we can fly to God's glory. We need each other. Get a new algorithm. Don't listen to the same old news feeds and rehashed talk shows and radio voices and predictable authors and websites and newspapers and magazines. Shake it up in your life with maybe something more liberal, if you're a conservative, something more conservative or moderate, if you're more liberal in your leanings. Variety is the spice of life, right? It will give you some creative dissonance in your life. It's going to make you broader. It's going to make you more measured in your perspectives. And most importantly, keep engaging with the scriptures in your life, all of us, and listen to other people's engagements with the scriptures. Flee from angertainment. Flee from the outrage machine found on the extremes of both sides. It's poison. Poison for your souls. And studies show it's going to make you depressed in your life and a miserable person to live with. Stop the demonization. Stop the polarization, the partyism, and the poop throwing in your conversations and on social media. How can the church in good conscience say, be reconciled to God, if we're regularly ripping into others and tearing them apart? Don't assume all smart and ethical Christian people think the same way you do. Get curious why other people think differently from you. You don't have to change. Unity isn't the same thing as uniformity. But then again, maybe the Holy Spirit might change you a little. More importantly, get to know people that think and believe and live differently than you. Instead of condemning them, seek community and understanding and relationship. You both are going to be enriched. See, what I'm getting at is that we have a calling to reconciliation, and we don't have to consign ourselves to living in the DSA, the Divided States of America. We don't live there. In Christ, the church should be a house united, not a house divided. We are the body of Christ. Each and every one of us, we have a circle of influence in our lives, a network of friends and others who are not actively involved in the church or God. Roughly 8 to 15 people, studies show. For you, maybe it's more people. For others, it may be less. It could be family, neighbors, fellow students, coworkers, friends, etc. I'm not talking about people far away from you, but people in your regular day-to-day life. What if you saw yourself as being an ambassador of Christ, engaging in the ministry of reconciliation with your 8 to 15? That no matter who they are, what their politics, what their personality is, you love them, you pray for them, you encourage them, you listen to them, and you extend the friendship of Christ to them, you invite them to church. I mean, think about it. Look around the room right now. Think about the entire Emmanuel membership. For each person here, add another 8 to 15 people. If we multiply that by the total numbers of Emmanuel, we're talking about 2,500 people up to 4,650 people that we can extend God's reconciliation to. I want to close with this true story. In 1981, less than 3 months after taking office, Ronald Reagan was hospitalized after being shot after an assassination attempt. The Speaker of the House at the time was Tip O'Neill, and he went to visit Reagan when he was in the hospital. Now, Reagan and O'Neill, they were on opposite ends of the political spectrum. Their differing views exasperated one another at times, but they were both Irishmen, they were both Christians, and they were friends, especially after 6 p.m. Tip walked over to Reagan's bedside, and he kneeled down. The Democrat and the Republican joined hands. They began to recite, not read, but by memory, recite together Psalm 23. "Thanks for coming, Tip," the Gipper managed to whisper. After the scripture reading, Tip rose, kissed Reagan on the forehead, and said that he didn't want to keep him from his rest, and he left the room. Emmanuel, you're a new creation. Break the mold. Bust out of your cocoon. Cast off the stereotypes and the vitriol of this passing world. See the world with new eyes. Think with a new mindset. Live differently. You are Christ's ambassador, entrusted with the sacred message of reconciliation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. See it. Believe it. Believe it. Amen.